ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant Bhajagovindam, verses 27 till the end. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate, Samprapte sannihite kale, Nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karani. Yeyam Gita nama sahasram deyam shipati upamajasram. नेयं सज्जन संगे चित्तं देयं दीन जनाय च वित्तं सुकत क्रियते रामा भोगः पश्चाद्वन्द शरीरे रोगः यद्यपि लोके मरणं शरणं तदपि न मुञ्चति पापाचरणम् अर्थमनर्थं भावय नित्यम् नास्ति ततः सुख विषसत्यम् पुत्रादपि धनभाजां भीतिः सर्वत्रैषा विहिता इतिः प्राणायामं प्रत्याहारं नित्यानित्यविवेकविचारम् जाप्यसमेधसमाधिविधानं कुर्ववदानं महदवदानम् गुरुचरणाम्भुज निर्भर भक्तः संसारादचिराद्भव मुक्तः सेन्द्रियमानस नियमादेवं रक्ष्यसि निजहृदयस्थं देवम् भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति दुःखं करणि। Bhajagovindam is a text which can be called as a wake-up call to the humanity. There is this general tendency to exist mechanically in life, without questioning, without becoming alert, without following life with awareness. So, the general tendency to become, lazy or lethargic, mechanical in our approach, Bhajagovindam comes as a whip. Powerfully, Adi Shankara has, started this text when he sees this old man trying to memorize grammar rules. He is trying to tell us that we get our time completely wasted in the non-essentials of life. We don't really understand the value of time, and we don't understand the value of being born in the human form. Tattvabodha. In fact, the text Tattvabodha is the first text that one studies technically if one is following the method of teaching of Adi Shankara, which we do actually. So, when we follow Adi Shankara's methodology, traditionally if you see, the first text that they are supposed to study is Tattvabodha. It's an introductory text on Vedanta. It's the text of book of definitions actually. All these terms that we use in Vedanta, vasanas, waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, gross body, causal body, subtle body, various other terms like, prarabdha karma, sanchita karma, agami karma. We keep using all these terminologies. So Tattvabodha introduces all those terminologies, covers the entire basics. So, student, if he really want to study Vedanta, the approach is first study Tattvabodha and then get on to texts like Atmabodha, Vajugovindam and all that. Then come to Bhagavad Gita. Then slowly come to Upanishads and then Brahma Sutra. That's how it proceeds. So in the book Tattvabodha, when Adi Shankara talks about this gross body and subtle body, at that time he says that this body of a human being, whether it is a gross body or the subtle body, is a byproduct of your good karma. So to get this body is not easy. We have gone through many janmas of different species. Now you've got this body as a human being. And in this human state also, the waking state is a fully grown up state in which you can do this inquiry. You can question. Though the difference between the waking state and the dream state varies only in degree, not in kind. That's why in one of the Upanishads, the Guru says there are only two states of consciousness. We say there are three states of consciousness, the waking, dream and deep sleep. But the Guru there says only two states of consciousness. He says there is only dream and deep sleep. So you wonder whether he has forgotten the waking state. He has not forgotten the waking state. As far as we are concerned, this waking state is also another kind of a dream. That's all. It's a little more well specified or well connected dream state. But this is also not entirely a real state. So therefore, for them, this is also a dream state only. It's only varying in degree, not in kind. Just like how a dreamer, you know, bangs on the table and says, the banging pains me and it's so real. Can I reject this unreal? Same thing the later of this. So just hearing in degree, not in kind. In kind, they are both same. Both are nitya. They are not satya. Brahman is, in kind itself is different. In the sense, it is satya. It is not nitya. So, in this waking state, one needs to be alert. But the problem is, we get tempted and lost in the world. And it's not easy. It's easy to say these things. But to be not tempted and be alert is not easy at all. Because the body, mind and intellect get tempted by the worldly objects, emotions and thoughts. We do get involved. Yesterday, this American election was going on. And it's still going on now. They're still counting. It looks like, you know, it's not going to end even today. So, people get into arguments. It's all fine to debate. That's fine. But then get involved. And then, somebody was telling me yesterday that this, particularly this election, people have become so personal that even mother is supporting one party and daughter is supporting another party and they become so personal, they are not talking to each other. You know, this is unbelievable. This is ridiculous. So when I was, you know, listening to that person telling me this, what's happening in many places in America, many houses in America, or even in India, I'm seeing this. I'm only reminded of this text, Vajugovindam. This is nothing, nothing matters. Ultimately, what matters is, before you go, before you leave this body, how much of the truth about yourself have you revealed to yourself? That's what matters. So don't throw it away. Don't waste it. Don't get involved in the aggrandization of wealth and enjoyment of it. While one needs to enjoy, one needs wealth for transaction purpose, one should not mortgage oneself and become a slave to them. In fact, there's a question that was put forth to Swami Ramtirtha, when shall I be free? That's the question, when shall I be free? For which he says, when I shall cease to be. So when I shall cease to be, I shall be free. So all of us really want fully freedom. You know, there's a movie called Invictus. I don't know if you've seen it. If you've not seen it, you should see that movie, Invictus. It's a very, very nice movie. Now, this is the story of Nelson Mandela. How, you know, he united the country after their freedom. After the freedom, there's a lot of fighting going on. Blacks are saying we should throw out the whites and all that. So he says, listen, they did that to us. If we are going to do the same thing, then I don't think so we have got real freedom. It's not getting freedom from these whites that is real freedom. Real freedom is getting rid of these kind of thoughts, these kind of divisive thoughts. You know, like we have studied in the 18th chapter, sattvic knowledge is that which sees unity in diversity. Rajasic knowledge is that which sees divisions in unity. So he says, real freedom will be achieved only when we get rid of these divisions in our mind. Even in 2020, it's very sad that we need to fight saying black life matters. What do you mean by black life? I don't understand. Life is life. What do you mean black, white and all this rubbish? It's all madness, you know. And we call ourselves developed beings. So this is why Adi Shankara gives this Bhajagovinda. Wake up, man. Wake up. Don't get involved in all this nonsense and lose your track. Get back to the self. That's been the message. And he talks about this after giving the chorus. He talks about it for 12 verses. Then each of the students gives his perspective, his understanding. And then from 28 till 31, the last four shlokas, again given by Adi Shankara, the concluding verses of this text, blessing the students to realize the self. So in 26 he says, having transcended desire, anger, greed and delusion. See, having transcended means, now this is another lot of confusion when we also say, Vedanta also we say, God plus desires equals man. Man minus desires equals God. So we have to go get rid of desires. See, we talk like this. But when we talk like this, you need to understand the spirit of what we are saying. You get rid of desire, doesn't mean that you frustrate yourself as if desire is some, you know, crime. The thing is, you should not become subservient to your desires. Let the desires be there in your mind. That's the nature of the mind. Mind is the seat of desires. But you should use your intellect and propel your life based on that. Not become a slave to this desire and its modifications, which he mentions as anger, greed, etc. So once you transcend this, then you see yourself as the Supreme Self. He am I. Soham. Saha aham. Soham. And he am I. I see that I am that reality. See, in the Tattva Bodha that I just quoted, very beautifully explains about the waker, dreamer and deep sleeper. When the pure consciousness, the Atma, functions, identifies through the causal body or Karana Sharira or Vasanas, you become the deep sleeper. And the deep sleeper is given the name Prajna. And when the pure consciousness functions through the subtle body, Sukshma Sharira, the mind and intellect, you become Tejasa, the dreamer. And when the pure consciousness functions through the gross body, the stula sharira, the physical body, you become the waker Vishwa. So, who is this Vishwa? The I that is identified with this gross body is called the waker Vishwa. And now, there are a few of us who are part of this class now. All of us are wakers. So amongst the wakers, when there is transaction going on, to make the transaction smooth and communication comfortable and smooth, each one of us have been given a different name. So we use different names like Mamta, Shweta, etc. But who is Mamta, who is Shweta, who is Sadhana, who is Lakshminara, who is Puja, who is Madhu? We are actually wakers. Who is this waker? The pure consciousness that is identified with this body. When you identify with this physical body, you get that I which is waker, which is called Vishwa in Sanskrit. So, we have now become the waker. And once we have become the waker, we get involved in our life. we get lost. I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm father, I'm a mother, I'm this and that. You get involved in each of them. And once you get involved, you create karma and you get into this cycle. You continue in this state without knowing the truth that you are actually Saha. Saha means He, the truth, the reality, the Purusha, not this Veka. So that's what he said. The moment you can withstand this power of desire, you cross over that, you then begin to see the truth, realize the self, He am I. Fools who lack self-knowledge, those who do not have the knowledge of the self, they are tortured as captives in hell. So, this life is in your hands. How you meet it, either it becomes a heaven or hell. Like John Milton says, mind in its own place makes a hell out of a heaven or heaven out of a hell. So this life becomes heaven when you begin to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you limit yourself. And with limited identification, you approach life, then you suffer. That's what he means. Fools lack self-knowledge. They are tortured as captives in hell. They become captive to this body. They become captive to the domestic environment. They become captive to the external environment. They become captive to their own dictates of the mind, the ideologies of the intellect. And even in, you know, Vedanta, when people come, you will see sometimes tremendous differences. Vaishnavite versus Shaivite. And you go to Tamil Nadu, you will see this. Tamil scriptures versus North Indian scriptures. I mean, instead of getting into the scripture and seeing the reality and getting to the truth and trying to become unified, even there they say, you know, scriptures in this is superior, scriptures in that language is superior. It's constant madness because mind gets involved. So he says, you will be captured in this world. You will become a captive and suffer if you do not know the truth. So, and majority don't know. They're all suffering in this world because of that limited identification. And how can you come out of this? Next verse. Verse 27. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram Deyam Shripati Rupa Majasram. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram Deyam Shripati Rupa Majasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam Deyam Deena Janaya Chavitsam. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam Deyam Deena Janaya Chavitsam. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram Deyam Shripati Rupa Majasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam Deyam Deena Janaya Chavitsam. Bhagavad Gita. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. Sahasranama, 1000 names of Lord Vishnu. He says, Bhagavad Gita and Sahasranama should be chanted. Form of Lord of Lakshmi always meditated upon. Shripati Rupa. The Lord of Goddess Lakshmi, Shripati Rupa, should be worshipping the form of Lord Vishnu. The mind associated with good. We should always be meditating upon Lord of Lakshmi and the mind should be associating with good and wealth should be given to the needy. Now this verse is talking about the, you know, certain sadhanas, what they generally call as Bahiranga sadhana, external discipline. Before one plunges into a closed eye meditation, one needs to do certain sadhanas and prepare the mind. We have seen this. See, we are doing little ulta everything. No. We initially should have studied Tattva-bodha, Vajra-govindam and all that and then come to Bhagavad Gita. But we straight away went to Bhagavad Gita. So we have covered many of the things that we should have covered by reading these books. So we know all these things already, which is through Karma Yoga, you attain Chitta Shuddhi, and through Bhakti Yoga, the worship of forms, since not everyone can conceive Lord without form, you go through the form worship, and through that you attain Chitta Ekagrata. This is very important. Before we plunge into closed eye meditation, Dhyana Yoga. Before Dhyana Yoga, in fact, one should have gone through Dhyan. So all these practices he is mentioning here. So to be able to go into Dhyan, because ultimately what gives you liberation is Dhyan. Why are you suffering today? Simple answer Vedanta gives is because you think you are Madhu. You are suffering because you think you are Mamta. It's as simple as that. If you know that you are Atma, you won't suffer. You have lost the identity with the Atma and you are identifying with this body, mind, intellect and having this name attached to that, this personality and the bodily connection that you have here. So because of that, you are suffering. It's as simple as that. So you need to gain the knowledge that you are not Madhu, but you are Atma. You are not XYZ, you are Atma. This is all it is. It's ultimately Jnana. Now we are hearing this 1,000 times, but yet that Jnanam has still not come. We are only informed about it. The Jnanam has not come. When will the Jnanam come? If you properly qualify yourself and then gain the knowledge, then it will come. So what is that you are supposed to do? He says, distribute the wealth to the needy. See, firstly, when will you distribute? Why are you hoarding? You are hoarding because, see, even this wealth that one hoards, finally what they are going to do? Yeah, whatever it is, you may even have big fighting with your children. Finally you will give it to your children and go. So I am not saying give it to somebody else. This is how we are. You can have any big arguments, whatever it is, but finally 99.99% of the cases are going to give it to your children and go. Why you are comfortable when it comes to giving it to your children? Because you think they are you. They are extension of you. You see your nose in them. You see your eye in them. You see something, your stupidity in them. Something we see. So we say, she is my daughter. He is my son. He is my grandson. I am seeing this forehead exactly like me. You know, some kind of this kind of identification. So me. So when I begin to see this family as me, I am comfortable sharing it with my family. Now, what is that the philosophy that we are studying is telling us? Our body is made up of 5 elements. Space, air, fire, water, earth. This universe is also made up of these 5 elements. When you die, these 5 elements merge back with these 5 elements. So in Tamil, that's why they say, Andathil irupade pindathil irukkirathu, pindathil irupade andathil irukkirathu. Means, andam pindam means the total and the individual. The macrocosm and the microcosm is one and the same. There is no difference, nothing. Bubble and the wave are essentially nothing but water. So therefore, you are, because of your madness, thinking yourself to be separate, but you are not separate. You are not really separated, you are connected. That's why when somebody sneezes, you get agitated. What is this fellow sneezing? Even if it is through Zoom call, if somebody is sneezing, you get worried. So, you are connected. So, it is all this maya that has happened in our head, that we are separate. But technically, we are one. So once that feeling of oneness comes, it is very, you are comfortable in sharing the wealth because you see it as ours. But today you don't see it that way. So once you gain this knowledge and you want to really go deeper into this knowledge, you should lose your attachment to wealth. This is the problem. You should lose your attachment. It's not that you mechanically, blindly distribute. In fact, you should know how to do charity also. Swamiji in Vedanta Treatise says, majority of them don't do charity. And minority who does charity, they do it mechanically. You know, I just want to finish off. from to do this feeding of these poor people. On these days, go feed quickly. Whether even the fellow eaten nicely and comes, still you feed him. Because you just want to, you know, do it as a mechanical obligation. No. Wealth should be given. Spirituality is about dropping, not about accumulating. So wealth should be distributed. An association with the good. Because to hold our attention on the Atma is not easy. Small information comes, immediately we are lost. Oh my God, what has happened? Immediately we get involved. And we are gone. To hold the attention on Atma is not easy. So to be with people who are good, meaning who will help me in identifying with the Atma. That is another important discipline. And then he talks about form of lot of Lakshmi worship, Sahasranama chanted and Bhagavad Gita studied. Basically, karma, bhakti, jnana he is talking about. See, what we need to understand is Bhagavad Gita studied doesn't mean you have some preferential attachment to this text Bhagavad Gita. Adi Shankara is a Shaivite. Yet he is talking about Mahavishnu. He means his disciples and they are talking about Mahavishnu. Trying to tell us that these are different rupas of the same power that we are worshipping. It really doesn't matter. And Bhagavad Gita is a practical text. It is both Dharma Shastra and Moksha Shastra. So study Bhagavad Gita means what? If you study, study properly. And basically do karma, bhakti, form of worship of Lord and all that, so that what kind of impressions you create in your head. It's very, very important. See, before, now, when you live in this world, every action, perceptions, experiences creates samskaras in us. And these samskaras, some of them which need immediate fulfillment, come out as deep in the dream state. These are basically nothing but our impressions only. Nothing other than our impressions come in the dream. So we are going on creating these impressions. So if we want to maintain the single focus on Brahman, the impressions also should be of that. That's why he's saying, you know, the form of worship should be meditated upon, form of Vishnu should be meditated upon, and then Sahasranama, you keep on chanting those different names of the Lord. Each name is beautiful. Some of the names are highly philosophical also. So, names of the Lord, association with the good, distribution of the wealth, and study of the Gita, imbibing the philosophy in life, all these what happens is, we create a single focus towards the self. And then through dhyanam, meditation, one can realize the self. That is why he is emphasizing these external disciplines in this verse. Sukata kriyate rama bhogaha paschadanta sharire rogaha. Sukata kriyate rama bhogaha paschadanta sharire rogaha. Yadhyapi loke maranam sharanam tadapina munchati papa sharanam. Yadhyapi loke maranam sharanam tadapina munchati papa sharanam. Sukata kriyate rama bhogaha paschadanta sharire rogaha. Yadhyapi loke maranam sharanam tadapina munjati papa sharanam. Now, these last four verses, 28 to 31, is given by or attributed to Adi Shankara once again. The last four verses is used to bless the students to follow this path and not get swayed away. So he says, the temptations are very, very powerful. It's not easy. So he says, therefore, because the entire Bhagavad Gita is talking about Kanchana and Kamini. this wealth and pleasure. So he says, this wealth and enjoyment is where we get completely trapped. Our whole life is finished in this itself. Just finding security, survival and pleasure. Majority of human beings waste their energies merely in just acquisition and enjoyment. So therefore he is cautioning us again here. He says, one happily takes carnal pleasure. Alas, later on, the body becomes diseased. That is the evil in the world. It cannot be full. Every thing is, human beings are very well aware that they come with an expiry date. Everybody knows this. This death is going to be the final for everybody who is born. Yes, they know. As human beings, they are very aware of it. Yet, they lose the grip over life. They get lost in the temptation. That's the power of Maya. It's incredible. If we are a conscious being, the objects have no consciousness. Yet see how the objects dominate us. And the few seconds of pleasure that we get by contacting this world, how it binds us, how it, what all people do, just for that little fame, just for that power, name, fame, power, position, family, small little pleasures. Human beings become worse than animals. What all they can do is unbelievable. So, yes, even though death is the end in the world, people do not leave their sinful ways. Because of their foolishness, they are identified with the body. They think we are this body, and their whole life is mortgaged for mere acquisition and enjoyment. In this verse, he is talking about enjoyment. In the next verse, he will talk about acquisition. That's all. Your whole life is end all and be all of life is this. That's it. Nothing else. So therefore he says, one has to be alert with reference to these temptations. We can study, we can do all that, but it's not easy. We have studied so many times that iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. We know this. We realize it. We appreciate it. We all, that's all fine. But the moment we come into contact with the world, we all succumb for this kanchana and kami. So therefore he says, with reference to these two things, one has to be very, very careful. So later on the body becomes diseased. Why he is saying this is, see, otherwise when you read this Bhajabhavindam, you will get depressed. You like, all the time is going on saying, anyway you are going to die all the time. He's going to be saying you are going to become diseased, you're going to be in ICU. The language is like this, you know. So, like the other day, Mamtaji asked this question, you know. It's not only Mamtaji, I have heard this question from so many people. They have some this problem, this they have that Adi Shankara is slightly biased against women or against living life. He is a sannyasi, he doesn't want to live life. You know, this kind of doubts keep coming in people's mind and they ask this question. And these verses also is like that, you know, especially when you read this Bhajagovindam and all that. So what he is trying to say is, karma will catch up. The nearty of body, it is like this. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anu, darshanam is a construct we have studied in Bhagavad Gita. These metamorphic changes the body will go through. Birth, growth, disease, decay and death. Whosoever is born, even if Mahavishnu takes avatar and is born, he will go through this. That body will go through this. This is the niyati. He is saying that. Therefore, when there is warmth in your blood, when your skin is tight, you start thinking about the realities of life. What is the point in thinking about it when you have become old and have no energy to do anything about it? Therefore, don't waste your time in the enjoyments per se. Let it be there. It should be like a pickle in your meal. It should not be like meal itself is pickle. I hope nobody eats like that. A full meal plate is full of pickle, very little vegetable or rice they have. Never happens like that. So pickle is that little portion. Similarly, enjoyment. So therefore, what Vedanta says is, do not throw away your potential. Hence, it is this verse. Next verse is again a very important verse, very often quoted verse. It is talking with reference to wealth. Artham anartham bhavaya nityam nastitata sukalesha satyam. Artham anartham bhavaya nityam nastitata sukalesha satyam. Putradhapi dhana bhajam vitihi. Sarvatraisha vihitarithi. Artham anartham bhavaya nityam nastitata suka leshaha satyam putradhana bhajambhitihi sarvatraisha vihitarithi. Artham anartham. Wealth is calamitous. When he says wealth is calamitous, what Adi Shankara is trying to say is, it is like saying electricity is calamitous. Electricity is calamitous, we know that. Yet we are all contacting electricity. When we know that electricity is calamitous, if you don't know how to contact it, you learn how to contact it, use the precautionary measures and contact it. So, if you don't know, then you will hurt yourself. You will be dead if you're playing with electricity. Similarly, electricity is very useful, but you should know how to deal with it. Similarly, wealth is extremely useful for your survival and transactional purpose. But it is calamitous if it is in the hands of people who do not know how to use it. It's a problem. Swamiji says, first of all, there is no such thing as blessing. But even if you say there is something in blessing, and if you want me to bless you to become rich, in my words, it is not blessing, it is a curse. Because just imagine, you have so many desires, you just don't have wealth, so you don't have the option of contacting the object. So you may be mentally a little bit agitated, but that's okay. But if you had the wealth and your desire was there inside, you will give in to it, most likely, and destroy yourself. So therefore, before we gather the external wealth, we should have gathered the inner wealth called the character. That's very, very important. The character should have been built strongly. So that's why he says, artham anartham. Wealth is calamitous. And reflect all the time. Nityam bhavaya. He says, you have to reflect daily. 24/7. Because to develop that detachment with reference to that, which means, detachment means right value. Right value for wealth. So that you don't get too enamored by wealth. So, reflect all the time on these truths of life. Truly, there is not the least happiness from it. Per se, wealth doesn't give you happiness. So wealth gives you happiness when you are able to impart with the wealth and get the object of your desire. So wealth can only give you enjoyment if you are able to part with it. Number one. And number two, even after parting and getting the object of your desire, you only register the enjoyment to the extent your mind is in the present. If your mind was craving and it has gone to the future, joy that can be derived from the contact of the object, to that extent you are not in the present and not registering the joy. So therefore, truly speaking, the wealth and contact can give you enjoyment only when you have become powerful enough to control and direct your mind. So therefore he says, there is least happiness from per se from wealth or contacts. You may be duping yourself to believe that you are enjoying, but you are only enjoying to the extent you are registering that contact. If your mind is craving and it's agitated, you are not registering the contact. So therefore he says, truly there is not the least happiness from it. Then he says, the wealthy fear even the sun. Think of Shah Jahan and Aurangzeb, you will understand. When Aurangzeb was born, if Shah Jahan celebrated it, later on he was concerned about it. So the wealthy fear even the sun. Now, when he says it's not a general rule, the wealthy fear even the sun, if you are attached. I don't want to get into certain examples, but we have the examples right in our own country, where the country had to make a law. In our country now they have made a new law, I suppose, that if the parents had given the properties to their only son or so, and the son is not taking care of the parents can get it back. This is a law like that now. I think it was recently made, I don't know. Recently in the sense few years ago. This is unbelievable. Human beings, we have to make such a law. I myself, in my, one of my, the beginning time, I used to lecture in Chennai those days. So one person asked me in the class, it's very sad, what he asked me was, elderly gentleman he was, yes sir, my properties I had mortgaged and sent my son to study abroad, he's the only son, and he took a huge loan for him to go and study abroad. So, now the fellow is earning very well, he's married somebody from there, he's settled there, he's earning quite well, he's very well settled. But he is not sending us money. He is not taking care of us. I am struggling and somehow paying this loan back. What does our Hindu dharma say? Can I file a case against him? Is what he is asking. Now what am I supposed to tell him? This is still, this question was asked to me somewhere in 96 or 97. I am still remembering that question 25 years later. It's a sad thing. It's very, very sad. And today they have this law, apparently, that you can get back. If you have given it to them, you can get back. That's what he's saying. The wealthy from your body, that body came out. That's how nature did it. Nature replicated itself in another form using your body. And what kind of pain it must be when that man is asking that question. So he's saying the wealthy fear even the sun. That's how it is today. It's very unfortunate, but they're just waiting for the person to die. You should read that King Lear by Shakespeare. Even if you're not reading it, you can watch that movie there. Little tough English, the Shakespeare English and all that. Some people may not enjoy it that much, but the story is amazing. three daughters he has. He wanted to split the kingdom and give it to three of them. The third one was bluntly straightforward, and so he banished her and gives the kingdom to the first two. Divides that into two and gives them. And how the first two daughters literally playing football with this guy. The elder one says you keep him. You know, it's literally playing football. King of England, after having split the kingdom into two and given to the first two daughters, literally is thrown on the streets of England. It's in fact the third daughter who is married to the French guy comes to help him. But both of them died. It's a tragedy. But what we learn from that is the statement that Adi Shankara makes. Wealthy fear even the sun. Now, when we read these verses, we need to pause and reflect a little bit. He says, wealthy fear. Is it a rule? If you are attached to wealth, then you will be fearing your son. If in you, you have created the inner wealth of truths of life, your identification with Bhagwan, then no need to worry about son or anybody. So therefore he says, this is how it is ordained everywhere. Ordained everywhere means this is how everybody functions. In this world, everybody is kind of attached and suffer. They are attached to their wealth, they are attached to their children, and they suffer. Children are just waiting for, you know, taking over your properties. So, the relationships have come to this level because people don't really understand the, real meaning of life. And therefore, Adi Shankara says, keep wealth at a certain limit. The end of the day, see, we are trying to acquire as much land as possible. Finally, land is willing, no? Land says, you are not going to occupy me. I am going to make you get into me. And we die 6x6 space given to us. You are cremated, not even that much. The ashes are put back into the earth. If you are buried, 6x6 maximum. So, there is a tug of war going on between human beings and the land. Finally, it's the land that wins. He says, this is how it is ordained everywhere. So do not become a slave and chase the wealth without understanding it is for a certain purpose. So use that wealth and become detached from it while you are living in this world. So handle wealth and enjoyment properly, don't succumb to them. This is the advice given by Adi Shankara in 28 and 29. Now verse number 30. Pranayamam pratyaharam nityanitya viveka vicharam. Pranayamam pratyaharam nityanitya viveka vicharam. Japya sameta samadhiridhanam. Purvavadanam mahadavadanam. Japya sameta samadhividanam. Purvavadanam mahadavadanam. Pranayamam pratyaharam nityanitya viveka vicharam. Japya sameta samadhividanam. Purvavadanam mahadavadanam. Earlier we saw Bahiranga Sadhana, the external disciplines. Here he is talking about certain inner disciplines, Antaranga Sadhana. He says Pranayama exercise, which is control and regulation of the pranas, the breath. And then Pratyaharam, control of the mind. where your mind is internalized. It doesn't run towards the world externally. And having achieved that, Nitya Anitya Viveka Vichara. What is Viveka? Viveka is Nitya Anitya Vichara. That is called Viveka. Constantly inquiring between Nitya and Anitya. Permanent and impermanent. So, Pranayama, earlier you talked about distribution of wealth and then being with good people, studying Gita and all that. Form of the Lord, worshipping and then Sahasranama, all that we saw. Those are external disciplines. Now he is going a little deeper. So now when your mind is not running around, you are sitting down. You are sitting in one place. You are not interested in going to any country, this, that, nothing. Then being seated in one place, you are doing pranayama, focusing on your breath and controlling it. And then mind is single-pointedly thinking of the self, pratyahara. And then nitya anitya viveka vichara. Sitting wherever you are sitting, you are analyzing between nitya and anitya and identifying it, nitya. These are the internal disciplines. So regulation of pranas, life activities, withdrawal from sense activity, focusing on distinction between eternal and ephemeral. Practicing of chanting and silencing the mind. Japa and mauna. Japya sameta samadhi vidhanam. So practice of chanting and silencing the mind. See this, maunam and japa, again, are very important spiritual disciplines. Because only when we become quiet, we can see the thoughts. And when one sage was asked, where do we look for Brahman? He said, look in between two thoughts. Very famous line, he said. Look in between two thoughts. Consciousness is all pervading. In the consciousness, the thoughts surface and dissolve. Surface and dissolve. And they do it quickly. So, between two thoughts, you should be able to capture the consciousness. Now, if you have to capture it between two thoughts. Now we have innumerable thoughts. We need to quieten the thoughts. So, silence, maunam, very important exercise. So, during this Navratra also, when people follow certain food discipline, tapas, even that is very important. Fasting and maunam and japa. When you are doing japa, it is not only that you are chanting the name of the Lord, but the very chanting involves you do a long exhalation, which quietens your mind again. So all these practices are quietening the vritti of the mind. Then, when these practices are done very carefully, these perform with care, with great care. With care, with great care means, see, remember that quotation which we have said before, everything has to be in moderation, including moderation. It's not that if you go and stand on the weighing scale 25 times, you'll start losing weight. Even if you don't stand on the weighing scale, if you do proper exercises and eat correctly, you will lose weight. Whether or not you go and stand on the weighing scale. So, don't get involved in these sadhanas. Sadhanas are important. These external and internal sadhanas are essential to quieten the mind and realize the self. But there again, don't get too possessive and attached with sadhana. Do it carefully with proper regulation. Because sadhana is the means to achieve. It is not an end in itself. Don't get involved in that. So, you know, Visavacha Upanishad, he says in one place, those who are lost in the world are in darkness. Those who are lost in spirituality are in blinding darkness. One is a glue and the other is a super glue. You leave everything and come to spirituality and my guru, my this thing, my that thing, getting involved in this nonsense. So therefore, it says, patience. You will get there. If you continue following this, you will get there. So don't become unnecessarily result oriented. This is a problem. Even in meditation, people become result oriented. Like, you know, one cricket coach told me, nowadays when the children at the age of 7 or 8 to the coach, first question they are asking is, sir, somehow make him a Tendulkar. Somehow make him a Federer. Or when some children are taken to learn Bharatanatyam, the question that they ask the guru is, when will be the Arangetram? When will the Arangetram means what? You forget about Arangetram, you forget about everything. Just simply do the sadhana. You will get there. That's why he says, patience. With care. Means patience. Don't get result oriented. Don't get attached to it. You follow the sadhana properly, without attachment, dispassionately, you will get there. Next verse. Guru charanam bhuja nirbhara bhaktah samsarad chira bhava muktah. Guru charanam bhuja nirbhara bhaktah samsarad chira bhava muktah. Sendhriya manasa niyama devam drakshyasi nicha hridayastam devam. Sendhriya manasa niyama devam drakshyasi nicha hridayastam devam. Guru charanam bhuja nirbhara bhaktah samsarad chira bhava muktah. Sendhriya manasa niyama devam drakshyasi nicha hridayastam devam. Guru charanam bhuja nirbhara bhaktah. Finally, he says, surrendering to the lotus feet of the Guru. See, the word Guru means dispeller of darkness, dispeller of ignorance. One who removes the ignorance. What removes the ignorance is knowledge. What removes the darkness is light. So Guru is light personified. Guru is knowledge personified. So, surrendering to the lotus feet of the Guru. Now this feet is that which takes the Guru from one place to another. So the Guru is, Guru's experiences are all soaked in the truth. So to that truth I surrender. That's what it means. Surrendering to the lotus feet of the Guru means you are surrendering to the truth in that experience. It's not personality worship. In the Vedanta Treatise book, in the very beginning, Swamiji says this. The role of Vedanta is to pull man out of his infatuation to personalities and educate him on eternities. This personality worship is a big problem. Very big problem. So, therefore he says, surrendering to the lotus feet of the Guru means to the truth for which the Guru stands. That's what Guru word means. So the devotee soon becomes liberated by gaining the grace of the Lord, and also it is in our interest that we associate ourselves constantly with the Guru. In the sense, few days, a lot of our students, they said, you know, sir, for whatever reasons, if I am traveling or not well or something, we cancel the class, then suddenly it becomes a break for some time. Then they suddenly say, sir, I need this badly. I have to get back. Because they are not that much disciplined so that they sit and study at home. So they need this kind of external props, these classes and all that. So when you are with the Guru, it's in your interest. So he says the devotee soon becomes liberated from the samsara, terrestrial entanglement. The association with the Guru. Because they're constantly talking about it, thinking about it, because the Guru is established in it. He will not get swayed away. The other people, they get swayed away. But when you are with the Guru, wherever he goes, he brings that and connects it with Vedanta. That's the beauty of the Mahatmas. Even if they are talking cricket, they will connect it with Vedanta. Even if they are talking the worldly affairs, politics, they will connect it with Vedanta. They're connected with the truth. So association with the Guru helps you from getting liberated from the samsaric entanglement. Guru is like the boat, the captain, an association with the boat which helps from moving from the shore of mortality to the shore of immortality. Is the boat who helps in getting transported, sailing through the rough sea of samsara. It is filled with all kinds of dangers. You know. So how smoothly you travel depends on how much you have surrendered and identified and taken the grace of the Guru so that you continue the sadhana. He says, thus through the control of the senses becomes having taken the blessings and surrendering to the Guru alone is not enough. With that association, you follow the sadhana. Very important. Extremely important. You follow the sadhana and bring in sense control and mind control. Before conclusion, he's listening this. A lot of us have understood spirituality devoid of any control. We think control is a bad word. Should be removed from the dictionary. Why should I control? I can do whatever I want. That's what we think. No. He says, through the control of senses and the mind, you will behold the Lord seated in your heart. So the Guru is that check. Keeps checking you. Otherwise, we are like people who are with no control. We go into the world and get sucked by the world. Completely sucked by the world. So Guru is like that in off position. You know. Can you see me?
Guruji, you've gone from the main screen.
We can hear you. Now we can hear you, see you also.
We can't see your thing on the main screen.
Can you see me now?
We can only see you in that window. Now we can see you.
Yes, we can see you.
Okay. Now you're back.
There was some problem in the internet for a while. That's all.
Yeah, I think Wi-Fi problem.
Yeah. So, the moment you follow the disciplines and with the Guru, he checks and puts you back on track. That's all it means. See, finally Guru can't do the sadhana for you. You have to do sadhana for yourself. You come alone, you go alone. Guru will only help you. Wherever you go, little this side, he puts you back. That enough position, you know, they play this game. I think snooker. You hit the ball and bring it back. And hit from there again, bring it back. So that enough position. We tend to get swayed, go this way and that way. The Guru brings you back, puts you on track, do the sadhana. Continue doing the sadhana. Control your mind, control your senses. See the self within. That's what he's saying. You will be able to behold the Lord seated in your heart. True Guru will help you see it within you. Lord is finally within you. You have to see it here. See, temple, church, mosque, all this is in the beginning. We all need it. It's external. It's needed. It brings certain disciplines maybe. In that sense, it's okay. But finally, you have to see the truth within you. Be able to see the thoughts within you. Got to keep your thoughts quietened. Senses controlled. Bring about a discipline in the object. So living with the Guru, it is conducive. So, nothing else. It's not that Guru will somehow touch you and then you get transported there. People have all these kind of beliefs. See the initiation also, initiation process. He is only putting that spark in you. You got to make it a conflagration by you doing that. You have to keep on fanning it so that the spark becomes a conflagration. But with the Guru, it becomes confusing. That's all it is. Left to yourself, there's a tendency to, you know, quickly get back into the world. That's why Swami Chinmayanandaji started this tradition. Later the Guru comes and gives Gita lectures, and then the disciples are conducting Gita lectures in the city, and students are attending this weekly lecture, they go back and study on a daily basis. So there is this constant lighting of the inner lamp. Thus, you remove the dirt and darkness around, then get established in the light of wisdom. This is the idea. So therefore, he says, finally, you got to surrender to the Guru, the lotus feet of the Guru, which will take you and nudge you to the self-within. While you are living in this world also, you will be able to live happily and you will be able to cross the samsaric cycle and realize the self. When you cross the samsaric cycle, realizing the self, you go beyond all the changes. Thereafter, no more change will affect. All changes will be digested by you. You will not be affected by any change. So this is the conclusion of the Vajagovindam. So let's chant the chorus together once and then conclude the class. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate, Samprapte sannihite kale, Nahi nahi rakshati dukrim karani. Om Sahana Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियेण बुद्ध्यात्मना प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणेति स्मरामि.